humans will access maybe less than 10% of how much the agents will access or how many agents will access.
If I am a developer of B2B software, how should I be thinking about protecting my data?
How do you secure agentic access when agents are going to access a lot of data at a lot more frequency and with a lot more unpredictability?
MCPs have become the new resource server.
One more thing that we need to constantly keep learning is starting to treat agents as colleagues and co-employees than actually just assistants.
Our goal is to actually make agentic first auth and access platform as easy as like a human auth is today.
A joint vision of sort of enable, you know, kind of human and non-human identities, access management in one unified platform.
This space is going to explode.
Hey everyone, welcome to our podcast. And this is the ScaleKit launch party. So I have Satya and Ravi, founders of ScaleKit, with me here today. And we have the privilege of co-leading their seed round. So we are very excited to partner with them. To kick it off, Satya, tell us a little bit about ScaleKit.
Thank you, Pranay. Thanks for having us and thanks for trusting us in the ScaleKit journey. And so ScaleKit is an auth and access management platform for agentic applications, right? I think in the last couple of years, there's been a ton of explosion of AI applications and agentic flows. We are securing the identity and access management platform for those applications.
Let's talk a little bit more about the founding journey. And I know you have some scar tissue in this journey. So tell me about the founding journey. How did ScaleKit come to be?
I think we are friends for probably more than 12, 13 years. We started together a journey called PipeMog, which was a startup in integration space. This was way back in 2013. PipeMog was acquired by Freshworks in 2016. We both continued the journey at Freshworks for almost 7 years. Great set of learnings, beautiful journey going from India and the public market in NASDAQ and all that. So Ravi was part of the platform product leadership there. There was a product called FreshID. So FreshID was acting as the internal authentication and user management platform for all products at Freshworks, including Freshdesk, FreshService, FreshChat, etc. And the founding team at ScaleKit was also part of that team. So Ravi had firsthand experiences of building these auth platforms for the customers of Freshworks, and having gone through it for more than 6 years, he understood how difficult and painful it is for the developers to kind of manage and upgrade the security layer of the user identity and access management. So we took the firsthand experiences from there, and then we are building ScaleKit based on those learnings.
Awesome. And I love that this one's in the family. So obviously, we've known each other from Freshworks for a decade. And shout out to G and Together Fund, who are our co-investors. So that's fantastic. So maybe switching gears to the market a little bit, right? What's sort of changed from the time that, Ravi, you were building kind of auth platforms to today? And what are like big swings you want to be taking?
I think fundamentally, like Satya was talking about, agentic access has exploded drastically, right? So early 2020s, when ChatGPT first came in, it is all about ask a question, LLM will answer a question. But eventually, a couple of years down the line, models have improved, agentic frameworks have improved. There is this function calling, there is this tool calling. It's not just about answering a question, it's about getting a task done by an agent instead of a human doing it all the time. So what that meant was the agents have started to use APIs and applications more than the humans. So that shifted the whole landscape of product builders. Hey, I know how to build an auth layer for humans accessing my product. I would do some sort of a password-based authentication, two-factor authentication, social login, and things like that. But then now, once agents start to access product, the whole authentication and security landscape of how do you identify the agent? How do you authenticate the agent? And how do you ensure right access to the agent to do the job it is doing? So that space has, I would say, changed the whole auth infrastructure that is needed by the product teams to build and secure either the applications that they're building or the APIs that they're building or even the agents themselves that they're building. So I think this is a fundamental shift that we have seen in the market over the last, I would say, 18 months or so. And our hypothesis is it's going to make it even more drastic in the future where humans will access maybe less than 10% of how much the agents will access or how many agents will access. So this space is going to explode. And we are betting on that hypothesis saying, how do you secure agentic access when agents are going to access a lot of data at a lot more frequency and with a lot more unpredictability?
So Ravi, let's unpack that argument a little bit. So curious to hear your take on a few things. So first, how does the definition of a user change compared to the last decade? And how do you think about it going forward? And second, what implications does that have on auth infrastructure that builders need to be aware of?
Yeah, I think the fundamental difference is how users predictably gain access to application to do a certain task. For example, a user may sign up for a CRM product and then log into that CRM product and then use that CRM product, right? With a certain privileges that he was assigned to, right? The fundamental change that is happening is now there are some autonomous AI agents either that user is building or that user is using to access the same CRM, but instead of user logging into the CRM, he wants the AI agent to access the CRM on behalf of him, on behalf of that particular human, and then get certain tasks automated, or get certain tasks done, create a summary, basically get him to do his job better. So there are two fundamental aspects to it. One is humans versus non-humans. The second is the predictable nature of access versus unpredictable nature of access. What do I mean by that? Humans have a very definitive way of logging in at the beginning of their work shift, logging out at the end of their work shift. So there is usually an 8-hour period in which they log in, log out, or log in once on Monday morning or log out once on Friday evening. Things like, but AI agents are very transactional in nature. They log in hundreds of times in a minute and get their job done, log out, right? For lack of a better word. Basically, every time they transact, you need to authenticate and you need to audit why is the agent accessing this data and who is accessing it and was this agent given permission by the user who wants to use this agent. So there are a lot of these things that complicate the whole identity and authentication of these agents. I think one fundamental misconception is, hey, how is this different from APIs? We always had APIs, right? But when you think about it, APIs are still used by human developers to access these applications. But these agents are autonomous in nature. They determine how to access applications, when to access applications, what are they doing in the application. So the probabilistic nature of these agents causes a lot more challenges in the authentication and access management of them.
It's like managing a Kubernetes cluster, right? Spin up, spin down.
Exactly. And everything is happening automatically. You just need to deal with it the best way you can.
So when you think about what you just said in terms of, you know, just the, you know, more transient nature of agents, the scale and volume of agents hitting your infrastructure, if I am a developer of B2B software, how should I be thinking about, you know, kind of protecting my data, protecting my infra, and at the same time exposing that surface area so that you can enable these sort of AI native use cases?
Yeah, that's a great question, Pranay. I think one thing that I would advise more and more developers who are building applications is start building with the assumption that agents are going to access your product in many ways than you can imagine. And it's not a predictable nature of humans. They will use the product the way you would have wanted them to use. Right? That's point number one. Point number two is ensure that you have a lot of auditability and secure layer in front of your product to identify every incoming request. Who is making that request? Is it a human, non-human? If it is a human, create human-specific authentication methods. If it is non-human, create non-human-specific authentication methods. Ensure the access is always audited and guaranteed. I think this is a fundamental thing that I would want developers to start thinking differently from how they are building today versus how they need to build going forward.
Bit of a left-field question, but you saw sort of Salesforce kind of restricting data usage on Slack. So do you think legacy enterprises go the walled garden route? Do you think they open up access?
Yeah, I think that's a very philosophical debate. It depends on, hey, do you want to hold all the data to yourself and make sure that they are very highly dependent on the agents that the likes of Salesforce and Slack are building, and then they don't want someone else to use this data to train their own models or agents to perform better over a period of time? The other way to look at it is, hey, are you just building a software and the data is eventually owned by the customers and not you? And they should be able to take out the data that they own at any point of time and use the data to use them however they see fit. They can use it for generating internal reports, or they can use it to train their internal models, or they can use it to build AI agents on top of it, right? So I think there are there are merits in both sides of the coin, but I'm a huge proponent of giving access to data and then not restrict access to data, because the minute you open up your platform, I always observed that the use cases would emerge and new business models will emerge on top of that. You don't have to be very protective of the data and then say, I don't want to share my data with anyone else.
So I guess coming back to Scalekit and all things auth, curious to hear your take on just product, right? So there are a lot of companies building around non-human identities. So what are some of the core differentiators, both philosophically and also in terms of product, that are thoughtful calls that you've taken?
Most auth systems today, they're built for predominantly human user use cases. And like we were saying, Scalekit is a kind of optimizing for a future where the agentic applications, it could be human in the loop or autonomous applications, can be like the first class actors, right? The agents are the first class actors and not just the humans. The second point is more about auth platforms are generally all or nothing. What that means is the developers have to go through like a full stack migration. So if you have to like adopt or implement an auth system, you'll have to kind of rip and replace your entire user management database, your user profiles and sessions and things like that. I think the way Scalekit is designed from day one is modular in nature. And what that means is we are offering both stateless authentication components and also stateful authentication components. Like in the stateless, the developers can continue to use their core authentication, but use our modules, like an MCP auth module or probably an agent connect module, which is more plug and play without a rip and replace, that avoids like a full stack migration for the developers. Also, most startups, the traditional auth platforms, they're too heavy, too expensive and rigid. So Scalekit is actually taking a more lightweight, modular, fast to implement to win your first enterprise deal or to power your AI application. Those are some of the strategic differences in how we are looking at Scalekit as an auth and access platform for agentic apps.
And could you maybe bring this to life with like a customer story?
So I'll probably touch upon two stories. So we have one customer, I'll name it. So SifTub is actually using Scalekit for single sign-on as a service, where they kind of have their own authentication system in the back end, where they have their user management profile database and they have their sessions. But we're actually acting as the auth system, only solving for single sign-on as a problem. There's another customer called Philo. Philo is using us for Magic Links as a service, like where they want to secure their authentication flows with more modern login flows. So they kind of added Scalekit only for Magic Links as a service. And so these are the examples where customers are actually using just like modular auth components based on their jobs to be done and the specific need without requiring for a full stack migration per se.
So you are saying like there is a joint vision of sort of enable, you know, kind of human and non-human sort of identities, access management in one unified platform and modular by nature. So you can kind of use any module, any component, or you can bring everything together in one place. Like obviously MCP has been a sort of hot topic in all things AI agents and enabling agentic tool use. And can you unpack maybe auth for MCP a little more, current state of affairs, where you see it heading and how you're adding to it?
Yeah. MCPs have become the new resource servers, right? I mean, earlier APIs used to be the way the data is exposed to like the clients. It could be scripts or it could be clients who are accessing the backend databases. But I think in the last 1 year, many companies, like including HubSpot, Atlassian, and a lot of companies, they have gone ahead and built out MCP servers. Now, this is one of the ways to enable tool calling where these servers expose tools for either the MCP clients or for the agents to invoke the tools per se, right? Now, what does it mean is these resources, because they are like sharing the sensitive data, like around CRM as probably a server or maybe a HRM as like another server, you need to secure these resources, which are public. So you need an identity and an access layer to protect these public resources, right? Which are the MCP. So you need like an auth layer to secure these MCP servers. And what Scalekit has done is it has built like a drop-in auth layer so that the developer who is building this MCP server, they can continue to focus on the core business logic of extracting information or updating information, but they don't need to worry about the technical nuances of the auth layer. And to touch upon what Ravi was talking about earlier, the transient nature of the agents. So you need dynamic client registration. You need the tokens to be short-lived and not be available for a longer period of time. So there are some nuances in terms of the technical nature of the auth that you need to cater for this use case. And Scalekit has like composed all of them, and there is like a drop-in auth layer for MCP per se.
And what's your view on agent-to-agent authentication?
Again, so just like what Satya was talking about MCP, right? MCP is one of the ways that you enable agentic access to the capabilities that you're offering as part of your product. Just like web applications are meant for human users to log into your dashboard, APIs are meant for developers to have programmatic access to your application. MCP servers are a way for agentic access enablement to discover the capabilities and execute the capabilities based on certain user context or user query, right? Now, if you think of, there are two different agents that are built by two different companies, let's say a Stripe and an Atlassian. If for whatever business reason they need to talk to each other, how do you enable these agents to dynamically exchange trust credentials, number one, and establish that trust, and then exchange the data seamlessly to get certain job work done, so that together they enable a more powerful use case to be executed autonomously without a developer having to code for it, right? So if you think of every agent as its own application, which has its own memory, which has its own decision-making agency, then how do you enable two different agents to talk to each other, communicate effectively, establish trust, and then get a work done in a collaborative manner, right? So when two agents need to talk to each other, like I said, they need to establish trust. How do you establish that trust? You need some sort of a secure protocol that both of them can exchange dynamically so that they may not know about each other upfront, they may be discovering through an agent registry. But then how do you trust these agents? How do you make sure that you get work done together? How do you share data in a secure fashion? How do you exchange data in a secure fashion? And how do you talk about capability discovery? Like what agents can do what? And then how do you dynamically discover those capabilities? And how do you create a plan so that these agents can work together? So I think that is where a lot of good work happening through different frameworks on how do agents talk to each other, how do agents work with each other. In all these scenarios, you need some sort of an authentication framework between two different agents. And that space is blowing up too with Google's A2A and there's ACP. All sort of these fundamental primitives about how do you securely exchange information between two different autonomous agents. That's been a great progress that's happening so far.
Last question on this, but just what's on your roadmap? What should customers look forward to in the next 6 months?
Yeah, I think much of the agentic auth space is still evolving. Like we are actually heads down building core infrastructure for agent identity delegation workflows, like what we were speaking about, human in the loop, right? Like how does the human delegate their tokens and the access tokens for an agent to go and run the workflow. So there are enough challenges to solve. First, on the auth side, we spoke about two-factor authentication. Like, how do you bring the identity for both the background agents and also from the browser agents and things like that. Also, on the access management, there's a lot of scoped permissions, solving for access permissions for like agents, like what are the specific objects they can access and specific roles and operations they can do. I think you'll be seeing more developer-friendly tooling and auth workflows that actually be enabled. And our goal is to actually make agentic-first auth and access platform as easy as like a human auth is today. So broadly, there will be enough roadmap on both the identity side and also on the access management side.
So switching gears, right? And I wanted to talk more about sort of the founder journey. And I know, Satya, you moved to the Bay Area from Seattle and in 4 weeks, you ripped up your entire roadmap. So curious to hear from you, sort of given this is the second time you're starting a company, like what are the learnings from PipeMonk, from Freshworks that you carry forward? And more importantly, like what are the things that you need to unlearn and kind of take a hard reset when you're building in the AI era?
Thanks, Brian. I think, the move to SF and Bay Area has been pretty important for the journey of the scale kit, because the agentic applications and the AI applications, there's a lot more disruption happening in just this 40-mile radius, and we are learning on a daily basis, right? Going back to the learnings, one of the reasons why they picked this space is for the context and the first-hand experiences. Again, the product and engineering team at ScaleKit, including Ravi and the founding architects, they have a lot of context and first-hand exposure to the problems on auth and identity. So picking problems where we have like past experiences or personal pains was one thing we were looking for in our checklist of problems to be solved. Since AI tools are actually shipping faster, I mean, the shipping is easier with AI tools. And so more than the product mode, we are also figuring out the GTM and the distribution, because these days there's a lot of noise even within the startup community in terms of like more than 100, pick up a category or a subcategory, you will see more than 20 players in each of the categories or subcategories. So the distribution and GTM execution has become more defensible mode than just product alone. And obviously staying close to why is probably more important, especially as a founder, we go through our own ebbs and flows and we will need the purpose and the why in the hard moment. So having like a deep connect with the problems will help us push through ambiguity and chaos that we go through on a daily basis.
Ravi, anything to add to that?
I think one of the fundamental things that I've learned through PipeMonk and Freshworks is constantly be listening to what your customers, prospects, leads are actually telling you about their problems. And then, you know, constantly think about their workflows, their problems, how do you make their lives better through your solution, and not be so focused inward on, hey, my solution is great, I'm adding this feature and that feature, but then constantly thinking about customers' perspectives, their workflows, their day-to-day use cases. I think that's been one biggest learning. And even our shift towards agentic authentication came from the same experience, because our customers constantly kept on asking about, hey, I'm building an MCP server, how do I build an auth layer for it? And then once we saw a pattern where multiple customers reached out to us with the same problem, we realized that, hey, there is a problem here. We need to help them with a simpler solution than what is available in the market. So again, being super focused on the customers will help you prioritize, will help you understand the market realities, will help you build a better product and solve real problems for your customers, rather than whatever hypotheses that you may be building in your own mind.
And maybe the last part was, as I asked, what are the things you believe you need to unlearn?
Again, I think one thing, I wouldn't say unlearn, but I would say more learn. We are figuring out the distribution and the GTM for Dev2. See, what we learned in the past was more for a business application. Like, how do you distribute and take a business application to the market? Like, the B2D, which is the famous of business to developer, is a completely different ballgame when it comes to what sort of growth experiments would you do. You need to be more community-led, especially developers don't like products to be sold. So you need to be coming out more as their subject matter expert and a well-wisher, and give them more neutral decisions, right? In terms of a choice one for this optimization, choice two for this optimization, that brings credibility up. So not being salesy, but at the same time, figuring out developer-led growth and community-led growth is something like a completely new ball game for us at ScaleKit. I would say that. And second, establishing the credibility in the US, right? I mean, obviously, it's a big switch for us from being a Bangalore-based company to a Valley-based company. Now, we're also going through our own journey of establishing local founder networks and the local communities so that we actually be plugged into those conversations and we are in the know of whenever there is something more disruptive happening, we probably hear it early in the cycle so that we can update our own roadmap and make adjustments to how we are planning to change the direction of the company as well. Okay.
And one more thing that we need to constantly keep learning is starting to treat agents as colleagues and co-employees than actually just assistants, because built right, they can unlock really 10x productivity and accelerate your product shipping velocity by a huge degree. So I think that is one conscious decision that we started to make over the last 6 to 12 months, which is constantly ensuring that, hey, you have a colleague that is sitting with you, who can brainstorm with you, who can work with you, who can accelerate your learning. I think that is a very powerful mindset shift that we had to make.
Awesome. This has been fantastic. But so where can people find out more about ScaleKit? Are there roles you are recruiting for? If so, what are those? And what's the best way for potential candidates to get in touch with you?
The website is scalekit.com. Developers can know more about our products at docs.scalekit.com. That's the place where we have free access to the products. In fact, one of the foundations of ScaleKit is also the start is always free. Like, it's a very generous free plan. So please check out scalekit.com and docs.scalekit.com. We are recruiting for developer growth roles in the US, like especially in the Valley. So if you are coming from a developer advocate or maybe a developer who likes to interact with other developers, that's one space we would love to talk to some folks. based in the Bay Area.
Awesome. This has been fantastic. Thank you so much, Satya, Ravi, and look forward to all the exciting updates and building this company together.
Thank you so much, Pranay. Thanks for having us and all your trust.
Thanks, Pranay.
If you like this episode of Zero to Infinity, there are so many more that you must check out. If you like Indian startup content, hearing about founder journeys, or knowing more about emerging sectors that we're investing in, Zero to Infinity is the channel that you need to subscribe to.